Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Have fun with your important conversations and your big issues with your brains and your smart stuff, okay? We got hockey to learn.
Dr. Hockey.
All right, well, I am on the call with Shang Peng, who is a writer for Fear the Finn. And we're happy to have you on. Shang, how are you doing?
I'm pretty great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I think we've been watching your Sharks kind of, you know, have a bit of a test with these Golden Knights in the playoffs. What do you think? How are they doing overall?
I think that the good news is they're only down 2-1 in the series, but there's a lot of troubling trends that are going on. For number one, Martin Jones is still not playing up to expectation, and they need him to.
Yes.
And they need him to because their defense is hampered. Mark-Edward Vlasic is hurt. Radim Šimek got hurt about a month ago. And Erik Karlsson is clearly playing hampered. And so right now, Peter DeBoer is down to three healthy defensemen that he trusts. Healthy-ish defenseman that he trusts in Brent Burns, Justin Braun, and Brendan Dillon. And if he's not getting the saves, then that puts additional strain on the defense.
Yeah, I mean, it was it's very obvious that this is the classic example. These teams get to the end of the year. They're already beat up making their way into the playoffs. And I think the Sharks had a bit of an easier trip into the brackets, so they shouldn't have been so beat up, but they are missing some key people. And you know, Vlasic is a gamer. This is a guy that I think is he's just not talked about as much as he should be. He's a real key to the defense for the San Jose Sharks, and not having him I think is a huge problem.
Absolutely. In game three, they slid in for their top PK unit. Usually it's Braun and Vlasic, and they slid in Burns along with Braun in game three. And Burns and Braun played over 6 minutes on the PK. That's a tremendous amount of minutes. And no offense to Burns, but you'd rather see Vlasic out there for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, Burns has a different function on that team. And, it's impressive how loaded with talent the Sharks are, but it's also it's unique in that with all that talent, the team is so sort of spring loaded to all function together that when pieces are missing, it is a problem. The depth is uniquely connected.
Yeah, and for the Sharks too, it all happened at the wrong time. Going into the playoffs pretty healthy is so critical. And through, I think, about the first 60 games, actually, of the season, the Sharks were actually arguably the healthiest team in the league. Yeah. At that point of the season, they hadn't had a player miss more than 10 games. And every other team in the league had a player miss more than 10 games. Only the Sharks had stayed healthy up to that point. And up to that point, they were pretty much the top team in the Western Conference, and making plans to visit Tampa Bay for the final, which may not happen for Tampa Bay either. But anyway, though, so they were incredibly healthy through the first three quarters of the season. And I guess I don't believe in karma myself, but it all caught up to them with Šimek going down. Vlasic's gone down again. Karlsson came back briefly from his first groin injury and went back on the disabled list and has come back apparently not fully healthy. And so it's all just kind of hit them in the face. And they had a chance to give themselves an easier first round matchup to get a little healthier. You know, if they had won the conference, they would have drawn Colorado.
Yes.
And they weren't able to close that deal. And now they have to face Vegas. And that's exactly the last team that you want to play in the first round.
I'll tell you, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights look very strong, and they have the depth of that team is difficult when you're playing hurt, because you know, if you look at I think if the Sharks were at full strength and they could handle what's going on, and I still think they have a good shot to beat the Vegas Golden Knights, but you know, you gotta ask yourself if Martin Jones does not step up the game and start getting to a decent level of save percentage, and and stop letting all these pucks in. I don't know how they're going to do it because the Golden Knights like to score goals.
Right, right. Well, there's no way to do it if you don't get at least average goaltending. The way it's been going, the 1976-77 Canadians, who I think they won 62 games, they're not going to win with bad goaltending either. And so, not to say that the Sharks, it's not all on Jones. The Sharks team defense has been leaky at times throughout the season, has definitely been leaky in games 2 and 3. So let's not put it all on Jones.
Right.
But as they say, you need a save every once in a while, and that every once in a while hasn't been happening enough with Jones.
Well, every year I always say the team that's going to go deep into these playoffs and ultimately get the cup, they've got to have a hot goaltender, and they've got to have the transition through the neutral zone. That is the whole secret. If you can get out of your zone and play at the other end, obviously you're going to have a better chance at scoring. But the main thing with the Golden Knights is you got to give them less time to do the scoring that they like doing.
Sure.
So if they're up in the Sharks' end the whole time, it's going to be trouble. These guys are just killers. They
sure.
really love to score goals. I mean, Stastny had a great game last night, and we hadn't heard too much from him, and so it always seems like somebody's peeking up and coming out of nowhere for that team. They have so many weapons. And by the way, so do the Sharks.
Right.
The Sharks have so many weapons, and they need to get, Pavelski and Evander Kane really firing on all cylinders. And Logan Couture is also, he looked like he was up for the game last night, but I don't think he was able to be as effective as he'd like to be.
Right, and let's not forget that game one, the Sharks dominated, and the narratives are all the Sharks are going to roll. Game two, I would say that actually it very evenly played. The Sharks probably really blew opportunity there, actually, because they had 8 power plays, and they only scored on one, and they gave up 2 shorthanded goals. So that was a very close game, and game three was all Vegas, of course. And so in that sense, the series is still quite close, very, very close. But, of course, like I mentioned, there's these disturbing trends. And with Martin Jones, I think that San Jose would take a lukewarm goaltending right now. They don't need hot goaltending. They just need lukewarm.
At what point did you feel, Shang, mm-hmm. that Erik Karlsson was actually integrated into the Sharks? At what point in the season were you like, oh, yeah, this guy is now part of the team?
Well, there was a run after the Sharks lost in Ottawa. I believe it was December 1st, and the Sharks were kind of the rock bottom point of the season. They lost, I think, 6-2 in Ottawa in Erik Karlsson's return.
I remember that was not pretty.
The loss was so terrible that Doug Wilson had to come down and give the troops a good talking to, which is pretty rare. When a GM is coming down to talk to you, then usually that means that something went wrong. And at that point, Peter DeBoer shuffled the assistant coaches a bit too. No one got fired, but responsibilities were shuffled. So these are unusual things to happen. But from that point on, the Sharks went on a 31-9-3 run. And Erik Karlsson was healthy for most of it, at least through the All-Star break. And for that month and a half period, he was scoring at a point-a-game clip. He was absolutely brilliant in that stretch. He was healthy. He was integrated into the action. Things that the guy said in terms of how to integrate with Erik Karlsson. You had to learn how to play with him. Erik Karlsson is a player that, when he's right, you wait for him to get you the puck because you know he's going to get it to you.
Yeah.
You let Erik absorb the forecheck a bit, and you kind of go down and kind of help him and be available for the pass because the pass is going to be there. And those are the kind of things that you learn over time playing with the player. Playing Erik Karlsson is different than Brett Burns. So anyway, it was around early December when they really found their place together, but it's been sort of derailed by different injuries and whatnot.
Yeah, I think it did take that amount of time for the Sharks to really understand how to use the fact that they now had Erik Karlsson on the team, because the team was pretty complete to begin with. Getting Evander Kane late in the season last year
right.
was well, in 2018 was great, and then getting a hold of Carlson, I thought the Sharks are just they're you know practically an all-star team in and of themselves, and it's a fun team to watch, and Jumbo mm-hmm. Joe is still doing his deal, and Pavelski had a career year this year. I mean, he was unbelievable. I don't even know where that came from, but he was scoring up a storm.
Yeah. The potential is still immense for this team. And we speaking of the forwards, every forward this year had either a career year, they stepped forward, or they had a year that met expectations. You know, Timo Meier, Marcus Sorensen, Kevin LeBanc, Dave All, Thomas Hertl have come forward with career years. Younger players have come forward with great years. Joe Thornton, Joe Pavelski, both hurt or hampered last year, have come back with strong seasons. And guys like Evander Kane, Logan Couture, you know, very solid seasons. They have depth up and down their roster. And then you add Brett Burns, who had a career this season. And let's not forget, arguably the best defenseman in the world when he's healthy, and Erik Karlsson.
Yep.
So it's sort of a shame that we may not get to see this team kind of at close to 100% in this playoffs. And if Erik leaves this summer too, then this was a ambitious grand plan by Doug Wilson, an admirable plan. It's been fun to cover, but it may be just a 1 year thing though.
Do you think that Karlsson has a chance to go somewhere else, or you think he'll hang around?
I think it's pretty 50-50. I think that he has grown to like San Jose more, from what I understand, the first month or so, understandably so, because he had been in Ottawa for so long. It was a little bit tough. The team was struggling. He was struggling. He had 7 assists, I think, in his first like 19 games, 0 goals. Very un-Erik Karlsson-like stats.
Right.
Losing that game in Ottawa wasn't great either. The team didn't exactly come with a gangbusters effort Erik Karlsson's return to Ottawa. But anyway, though, from what I understand, the feeling, his enjoyment in San Jose has increased. And that winning that winning run that they went on from December to March certainly didn't hurt.
Yeah.
But I think there will be serious competitors for Karlsson's services. It's telling that he hasn't signed yet. He hasn't re-signed yet when they have the exclusive window right now. And so it wouldn't surprise me if he's looking at a Tampa Bay, for example. He's very good friends with Hedman.
Wow.
And even though Tampa Bay's cap is tough, they can figure it out, especially for a talent like Erik Karlsson. Just for example, the kind of space they can create. Ryan Callahan will have 1 year left after this year, $4.5 million, and 1 year left, that's a very tradable deal, you know, add a draft pick or whatever. Also, too, it wouldn't surprise me if, and there's been reports of this out there already, the Rangers. But the Rangers, I would poo-poo a little bit just because he's very good friends with Lundqvist, but Lundqvist is obviously closer to the end of his career than the beginning. And also, too, the Rangers aren't they don't look set up to be competitive really quickly, unless they, you know, they sign like a Panarin this summer or whatever. But they don't look set up to be competitive quickly. And I do believe that Karlsson wants to win. Yeah. And I think the sleeper team that's interesting that I've heard is Vegas. And Vegas definitely was interested in Karlsson last trade deadline. There were a lot of rumors that Vegas was very close to acquiring Erik Karlsson for their expansion team run, of all things. And even this past summer too, so I can see that working if George McPhee had an interest. But I will say though that Vegas might be out of it because obviously they traded for Mark Stone, they've signed him, and so their cap may be a little bit strapped. So we'll see with Erik. I do believe that Sharks want him back, and I think that even though it's been an injury plagued season for him. You can see kind of the potential of Erik Karlsson and Erik Karlsson with this team. So if they come back together, even if they lose in this round, it's still a very strong, intriguing team.
Shang, what about Joe Thornton? How many more seasons is this guy going to go? I thought he was done last year with that knee injury, and he's come back and just had a banner year. So is he going to go another one?
I would think so. From the people I've talked to, and I think even Brent Burns has mentioned this in public, Joe Thornton, he loves he loves being around the team. He loves to practice. He's, you know, he's always on off days from what I understand. He's always at the facility working out, that sort of thing. He just loves the life and the camaraderie and all that stuff. And so I think as long as he can play at a high level, he's going to play. He's going to be a little bit like Jágr, I think. And I believe that once his play drops off, it wouldn't surprise me if he moves to, say, Switzerland to play. I believe his wife is from there. And so I think he's one of those guys. I think he's a lifer. And obviously he's shown this year that he still has something left in the tank. And so I would be absolutely shocked, even though Sharks won a Stanley Cup, I would be surprised if Joe didn't come back.
Well, Timo, you know, with Thornton, I always think about, you know, the other guys on the team. If they keep him around, then they got to start thinking about the contracts for these other guys. And isn't Timo Meier coming up soon for a contract?
Yes. He's an RFA this summer. And so I think that's going to be a tough deal to make. You know, we saw like William Nylander had his holdout this year.
Yep.
And I think that you can definitely justify that Timo Meier is a better player than William Nylander. And so do the Sharks have the space, though, to pay, you know, Timo close to seven and also pay Joe Pavelski, who's an unrestricted free agent, and Erik Karlsson, who's a UFA? Right. It's going to be a little bit tough. They're definitely not going to be as deep a team next year. I think with Thornton, though, they can fit him in because I think Thornton, I get the sense that he's made his money. And last year when the Sharks were in on Tavares, it was reported that Thornton was more than willing to take a larger pay cut than he actually did in the end to bring in a Tavares, to fit in Tavares.
Right.
So I don't see any issue, or I don't see Thornton fighting the idea of playing with Erik Karlsson for 8 more years, Joe Pavelski for a few more, and also locking in Timo.
Well, that Timo Meier is something else, man. He is a deadly goal scorer, and I think his best years are in front of him. So he's got that's a guy I'd want to have around.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is kind of funny, though. Timo did have a bit of a slump in the middle of the season. I think he ended up just slightly above 30 goals, but he was on pace for 40 at midseason. And that's one of those things where a guy's slump actually helps the team out because he's going to be a little cheaper than he would have been if he had hit 40.
Well, that's for sure, because I mean, with 40 goals under his belt right now, they'd be looking at a very big deal for him.
Yes, $8 million, probably north of $8 million.
Oh man, I mean, that's crazy. But you know what? These guys deserve it because if you can count on them for that level of play, it's gold. You need that on the team,
right? Especially at that age too, his prime years. Now his third year in the league. That's if you're going to spend the money, those are the guys you want to spend the money on.
Well, and you look at Toronto and the Islanders. I mean, these teams have some really young, heavy hitting goal scorers, and that's good for some years. The problem is that you see these long contracts. They pay up front huge money, and and then in the waning years of those contracts, you're like, wait a second, what did we pay for again here? And it hurts the team. And there's a lot of teams.
Well, that is definitely a challenge. Yeah, with especially the older players. So like a guy like Erik Karlsson, who I believe is 28 now, 29. So you're paying for the first half of the contract for a guy like that, and the talent is so great that it's worth it. Yep. But you better win a Stanley Cup in that first half of the contract, or you're going to be screwed.
Well, I mean, look at some of the teams around the league right now suffering with that. I mean, I'm right in Southern California, and my wife and I go to the Ducks games, and you know, you just see these guys are, you know, Perry and Getzlaf, who are in their day. I mean, you know, Perry won the Hart Trophy. This guy was he couldn't do anything but score goals. And, you know, he's injured and he's got a knee surgery, and then, you know, he sneaks in maybe 5-6 goals, 12 goals in a season, but, you know, he's still getting these, you know, really big numbers. And same with Getzlaf. And then, you know, you've got a cap problem of epic proportion, and, the Kings the same. And,
right,
you know, obviously they'd hit the Rangers very hard too. So I don't know. I guess that's just the way that the league is set up to do that. But in a way, I kind of wish they'd get rid of that and let people, you know, get paid market value. I think it would change the league pretty significantly.
Yeah, it might. But if we remember back to when there was no salary cap and the Rangers were throwing these silly contracts at everybody, you know, Theo Fleury and
I remember Kaminsky that well. I was right there.
And guys like that. So I don't know. I think there's an argument for both, hard salary cap and no cap at all. But I think, though, that, like I said, that is the price of doing business these days. And yes, it feels a lot better when you come out with some cups, just like the Blackhawks and the Kings did, as opposed to the Ducks and other teams like that.
Well, I think, that's where the Sharks are. I mean, they are, I don't know who was, I think it was either Snoop Dogg or mm-hmm. Will Ferrell was calling the Kings game. I think it was Will Ferrell doing it as anchorman, as Ron Burgundy. And he kept saying, Kings, 2 Stanley Cups, Sharks, 0 Stanley Cups. And, it's like, oh, man, it's true. It's like you want to get that cup. And this is the year, I think, for the Sharks. If they can do it this year, it would be great. I mean, I saw them play in Pittsburgh for, against Crosby and those guys when they were in their prime, and late in their prime, but mm-hmm. The Sharks look great, and they were close, but still, it's hard to get that trip back into the Stanley Cup. It is a true battle to get your way to that final.
Right, and you need things to come together, and at the moment they don't seem to have for the Sharks in terms of their health and their goaltending.
So tomorrow night, what do they do? Like, what if you've been watching this team, you know what they have, you know where they are with the injuries. What would be your recipe? What's your prescription for a Sharks win in Vegas tomorrow?
Well, if I knew, I would be on a coaching staff, right?
That's true, but you have to have your opinion.
Yes, I think, though, that it does start with their own forecheck. They need to get in on the Golden Knights, and they need to establish zone time. And if they can establish offensive zone time in the Vegas zone, put pressure on Fleury, this will stop guys like the Mark Stone line from getting out and getting too many chances. And this will also relieve pressure on their defense, their kind of hampered injury-plagued defense, and on Martin Jones. So I think it starts in that end. If the Sharks can establish their forecheck, get their cycle going, then that will help other parts of their game. If they can't do that, then they're going to be in trouble, because they're going to be chasing Vegas all night long. And that's not what you want to do.
We know they're going to be under fire in the defensive end. The Golden Knights shoot. They shoot a lot. Mm-hmm. They move the puck well. They've got a lot of weapons. And I think you're 100% right that their job should be to keep the puck out of their end and just forecheck, keep it down in the Vegas Golden Knights, and let Marc-Andre Fleury deal with some pucks coming at him.
Yeah, like they say, the best defense is a good offense. And in this case, with the Sharks, who they're not quite as defensively tight as they usually are, then they have to rely on their strength. And even if Thornton gets suspended, their forward depth is still very, very strong. They will have Jonas Donskoy and Lukáš Rodil potentially coming in if Thornton and Michael Haley, who took a shot block last night, is hurt. And most teams can't afford to be able to sit a guy like Donskoy. Donskoy is a very skilled player, a top nine player on pretty much any team in the league. And so the ability to slide a guy like that in, if he's engaged and if he has a good game, he's good enough to make a difference. And so they still have that potential up front.
Well, I agree with you. I think there could be they have all the goods they need to make this happen. So I really we'll see. I think it's going to be a burner of a game, that Vegas is going to want to win that one at home, because going back to the Shark Tank is not easy. And because if they go back 2-2, it becomes a home ice advantage situation pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if San Jose, and they were able to do this last year, they were able to make it 2-2 after four games. If they can do that, that would be a kind of an immense victory after all they've gone through in this series and all they've gone through in the last month with injuries and whatnot. And so hopefully that will point their arrow up.
Well, Sheng, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the Dr. Hockey podcast and talk about the San Jose Sharks. We're going to be watching with you. And tell us again where we can read your blog, all your writings, and how we follow you on Twitter.
Sure. I write for Fear the Fin, and you can follow me at Twitter, at Sheng_Peng, S-H-E-N-G_P-E-N-G, on Twitter.
And Fear the Finn, is that the website? Is that where we can find it?
Yes, Fear the Finn is a website. It's SB Nation's Sharks blog.
Awesome. Love it. All right, Chang, thanks so much, and we'll catch up with you again, hopefully in the next round of the playoffs.
Sounds great.
All right, take care.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.